Hey everybody, welcome to the Mental Toughness and Body Show. My name is Rob Evans and I'm your transformation coach and health strategist. Today I want to talk about self-compassion. Now, I think I am like many other people that I'm my own harshest critic. We can be really hard on ourselves when it comes to certain things, and I think part of the reasons why I am as effective and consistent and driven in the way that I am is because I do have those high standards, if you like, that I set for myself to say, well, I'm going to keep pushing until I achieve this particular outcome, and then we'll go from here to here to here. It's why every day I have these standards, if you like, that I have to complete in order for me to feel satisfied about the outcomes that I achieve each day. Now, I'm sure if you put me in a lab and you did all kinds of tests that exist these days for every possible scenario, then perhaps I am on the spectrum. I don't know. I've had conversations with clients that have been psychologists and run me through some different tests and so forth, and you know, I'm possibly borderline OCD with some of my behaviours and everything, but we've spoken about it in the context of I use, let's just say I'm borderline OCD, or I am OCD, say, then I use those behaviours in a way that help me grow. So I guess one of the challenges if you had OCD is that those behaviours really interfere with your life and stop you living the life in the way that perhaps is effective and allowing you to grow and everything. And I tend to use mine in a way that does help me grow. So, for instance, in some ways, I think perhaps I do have a little bit of an addictive type of personality. And for instance, probably the very first thing was when I started learning the bagpipes back when I was 11 years of age, and I just wanted to be the best, and I wanted to do whatever it took, and I practiced and practiced. If everybody else was practicing half an hour to an hour every couple of days, I was practicing 2, sometimes 3 hours every single day because I just wanted to dramatically expedite the outcomes that I wanted, and so that's what I did. And then when I started my gym training back in 1988, it's like, wow, I absolutely want to change my body, my shape, and I found something that I could do really well because I was never good at sport and that type of stuff, and I could be good at this, and I got stronger and stronger, and I just, you know, went with that. And I find where I am in my life now, I am a little obsessed with success. But it's a hobby as well because I just love learning about success, listening to success, having people on my podcast that are successful, finding out what are the ways that I can apply all of those things in my life. It's why I enjoy the coaching with my coach because I can resonate with his messages. He's helped me grow to this amazing individual that I am in terms of my mind and my work ethic and my focus and everything. And through all of that, I've determined those things, and I've refined it over the years, that all the things that I need to do every single day in order to feel like I'm growing and bringing out the best of me. But the big part is about that growth, progress. I need to be progressing every single day. And to me, that has helped create who I am. And so there's that aspect. And then with that comes that harshness that I judge myself with to make sure that I am doing those things every day. And if I'm missing something, like I can be hard on myself. And if you have a couple of days where maybe a couple of pieces are missing, then I can be even harder on myself to say, well, you know, I'm disappointing myself. What caused me not to do those things? And I guess that's double-edged because you can beat yourself up so far that you can become immobilized. I'm not at that stage in my life anymore, but I used to do that. I'd beat myself up so much that I'd say, well, I just won't bother. If I think about probably my first experiences of this were to do with my schoolwork, and I was realizing that other people were, in my language, smarter than me. They got better results than me. How did they do that? And of course, you don't see that the work that they put in, but I would make up these stories to myself that, well, they're obviously just smarter than me. I'm working harder, or what are they doing, or am I just dumb? And I would really struggle with that. So then I started to tell myself the stories that, well, I'm never going to amount to anything. I'm never going to be able to achieve success. I don't know if I use the word success, but get the job or things that I wanted. Every girl that I ever asked out, this is probably the next thing, every girl I ever asked out said no. They just wanted to be friends, or they just weren't interested. And so that got to the point where I just stopped asking, because every single person that I asked said no. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I'm just not worthy. And then I just made up a whole bunch of things about that. I'm too ugly, I'm too short, I'm too whatever, or not enough of whatever. And so you can then become immobilized in that space too. So we can be really hard. And so I suppose the most recent thing for me, which, you know how you can have certain events that happen in your life, and even though it may not have been for a long time, but you can quickly, like just at a snap of the fingers, you can feel all those negative emotions or feelings or whatever that you've had through other stages of your life in relation to this one particular thing. And so I think I might have mentioned this a few times before, and even just recently. So one of the things that really challenges me are social situations, and perhaps this is part of me falling onto a part of the spectrum, perhaps. Like my daughter, Liv, she was diagnosed as having ASD. Both her mum and I are on that spectrum somewhere. And if I have the choice of being in a social situation and not being in a social situation, I would always choose the not being in a social situation, because I'm just, like, I'm not a particularly, if it's a social party type thing, an evening, and it involves alcohol and dancing and all that kind of stuff, like, I would just not put myself in that situation voluntarily. But of course, we have those life events where you need to be in those situations. So, like, I had the wedding on the weekend, and it's like, it's quite uncomfortable, particularly if I only know one person, and it was the bride in this case, which means that you're not going to spend a lot of time with the bride. And when you get to these events, you're waiting for the bride to come and stuff. It can be quite social, but everybody else that's there, they know multiple people, and because it's families and whatever, so it's much easier for them. And I just find that really, really difficult. And I have to be careful that I don't beat myself up over that and say, oh, well, you're just, you know, you don't know how to have a conversation, you're this, you're that, whatever. And the self-compassion part of that is to realize that, well, do you know what? I mean, not everybody enjoys social situations. That's very clear. And a lot of people that go to these events, they only get through it because they're with somebody, or they know somebody else or whatever, but they can be feeling really, really uncomfortable, just like you may be. And so one of the things that I think is really important is that you realise that, well, you're probably just like everybody else. Yes, if you go to certain things, some people are going to be way more familiar with each other than others. And if you're going to continue to beat yourself up over some of these things, then, well, that's going to hamstring you in the potential growth that you have. And so I think part of the self-compassion process is to acknowledge what it is that you are going through, what it is that you're feeling, and just know that you are not alone, and you will not be the only person that has, and I'm talking about this social situation, but let's just say it's a failure of some sort, however you define failure. It's a failure in your business, a failure in something in your life. Maybe it's a failed relationship. Maybe you have been in a good rhythm with your health and wellness, for instance, and then you've just drifted away. And then what I hear from some people is, well, nothing ever works. I've tried everything before. Nothing ever works. Now, you know that even if it's just a slight glimmer in your mind, like, is it realistic that you have tried absolutely every single possible change in your life to achieve what it is that you want to achieve? And if you say, no, I've absolutely tried everything, then you know that you're not being completely honest, because there is like probably thousands and thousands of different ways that you could be altering the things that you do every day to achieve different outcomes. And so it is 100% probable that you have not tried every single thing, so therefore you should not give up, and you should not be just telling yourself, well, this is the way that I am meant to be. And so I think that self-compassion is really important, so that it doesn't get you to that place where you're completely immobilized from achieving what you're truly capable of achieving. And sometimes I have to talk to myself like that as well, particularly if you're put in the same situation, say, over and over, maybe it's a short period of time, and you're just feeling more and more uncomfortable. Well, the reality is that if you keep making yourself uncomfortable over and over and over and over, and you have some self-compassion, and you're also taking some action, and you're practicing, then guess what? You are naturally going to get better at it, because you just keep being put into these uncomfortable positions, and at some point, it will not feel as uncomfortable. Maybe it'll always be some kind of discomfort level, but it won't be as uncomfortable. If I use the situation with public speaking, I can remember when I was a young boy, I can remember having to do the stand-up in front of the classroom with the show and tell, or you had to talk about a book or do something like that, and you would just be dreading your turn, and you would hope that you'd be last, or certainly not first, but it could be delayed and delayed. And if it didn't happen today and it could happen tomorrow, then you were happy about that, because it meant that, oh, I just didn't have to do it. And so I used to be terrified, as most people are, of public speaking. Now, if I fast forward to now, like if I have an opportunity to be on television, to be on a stage, to be in front of thousands of people, then I would run at that opportunity to do it, because it just excites me. Now, in those moments, do I still get, I wouldn't say nervous is the right word, there's that, but maybe it is, it's nervous energy. It's that anticipation of what's about to happen. And I think that is a natural good part of what our body and mindset tells us, so that it helps, I use it to help switch me on. It's like if I'm feeling that, it's like, right, I know I'm ready. I know that I'm ready to go on. And as soon as I'm on, I know that I'm going to be able to bring the heat, if you like. Because also, knowing the way that I am, I put in the preparation, I put in the practice up to that moment, so I know that I'm not going to be, say, standing on stage and just say, well, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. Like, that's not going to happen. And because I'm practicing doing all these podcasts a day after day after day, multiple a day, then I am training myself to be put in any situation, including a social situation, where I can talk about anything. And so if I think about the wedding that just was, yes, it's awkward. It feels uncomfortable for me to be standing around trying to find somebody to talk to and all that kind of stuff in these closed conversation situations, and you're looking for the open body language, trying to find, well, do I go over here? Do I go there? Or whatever. But if I think about the conversations that I had by the end of the night and the end of the day, with somebody, it's like, well, I had some really good conversations with people and hopefully they felt the same way. But the more and more you practice, the better it is that you come. And now, once I'm in a conversation, I did not struggle at all to find things to talk about. Because, you know, I'm looking at, okay, is this a left brain person, is it a right brain person? Asking lots of questions about them is an easy way to break the ice and find out about them. So I'm just going to have a drink of water. And then things you'll find will flow quite well. And I had a lot of fun once you get into those situations. Just leading up to those moments that can be awkward. So, you know, I think that nervous energy can be a good thing. You can use it for good, and that's certainly the way that I do it. But I think it's important to remember self-compassion is really important. You want to, I guess, use the conversations with yourself to help push you and drive you, but also realize that if you feel like you're getting to that point where you're no longer going to, you do become immobilized, you're no longer going to push into that particular space and continue to make yourself uncomfortable, then that's when you know that there's a problem. So we need to find a way to just have that sort of open and honest conversation with yourself. Perhaps it's with somebody that you trust, you know, somewhere where there's that soft place to fall, or you know, with your coach to say, look, I feel it. Let's say, go back to that social situation for me, which is something that really challenges me. If I kept going to those things and I continued to stay in the corner and not have a conversation with anyone for the whole night, then if I keep doing that, then that's not a good thing. You know, I've got to be able to realize that, well, you're not the only person that feels like this. So maybe just take that little step, have a conversation with a couple of people, and then you'll find that the next time you do the same thing, just force yourself to have those couple of conversations. And then the next time, maybe you'll have a few more conversations. And each time you do these things, it becomes easier and easier, pardon me, and easier to do these things. Now, of course, whatever that challenge is for you in your life, you've got to just keep moving forward. Maybe you need to get some coaching around these particular areas to help you, whatever the area of challenge is, to have those conversations with your coach. And sometimes it might be just a case of, do you know what? You've just got to step up for you, and you've got to step into the pain. You've got to step into being uncomfortable. Realize that other people feel this way too. Yeah, everything that you're feeling, somebody else is going to have felt that at some point in their life as well. And realize that, well, there's nothing wrong with you. You're okay. You've just got to find a way to chip away at what it is that's challenging you so that you can become mobilized and get the growth and make the progress every single day to get ultimately to where it is that you want to get to. We all have our fears. We all have some limiting beliefs which we try and get rid of. I think one of the biggest things that you need to try and eliminate from your life is excuses. And as soon as you start to do that, you'll find that you're living life like most people don't. Most people make up excuses constantly for themselves and they become immobilized in what it is that they aren't doing. So self-compassion plays a role in helping you grow. Because if you don't accept it, then you may just continue to beat yourself up to a point where you just become immobilized and stop doing those things that you really need to do to help you grow as a person, a human, to get the success that you want across various areas of your life. I see this a lot with health and wellness, people wanting to lose weight, change their body, change their health, and they just say, well, my body always goes back to XYZ. So, okay, that's because you're also not consistently doing the right things to change what it is that you have been doing. And so what the better statement to say is, well, you always go back to the disempowering habits that you've always had, And the outcome is the health, wellness body that you're living in. That's the reality, but people don't look at it that way. They look at it from a perspective of, because it's easier to say, oh, this is just the way my body's supposed to be. Really? So your body's supposed to have a BMI of, 35, 40 plus. You're supposed to be unhealthy. You're supposed to be like that. That's the way your body was made. Is that right? Of course, I don't have those verbal conversations with people, but that's how ludicrous those statements are. I say, well, I would be the same if I chose to eat what most people eat. I'm a shorter guy. If I put on, say, 10 kilos, you would see that in a massive way on me. If somebody is 6'3" or 4 or more, 10 kilos on them, a lot of people probably wouldn't even notice, because longer muscle limbs, bigger torso, that's a more space to spread that out. But if I ate like most people did, then I would become quite unhealthy and look overweight, and, you know, like a lot of other people do too. We know about 70% of Australians are either overweight or obese. I would be like that too. It's just that I choose to live a lifestyle that is different to give me those outcomes. And say, well, okay, this is the way my body is designed. Okay, I was born in 1968, really? So my body was supposed to eat Uber Eats and eat lots of pizza and do all that kind of stuff, was it? I was like, no, they're just habits that you've chosen to live by at some point in your life. I just choose to not drink, not take drugs, to not gamble, to not have those addictive types of things. I said at the start, I think I've got an addictive type of personality. It's probably one of the reasons why I don't do those sorts of behaviours. It's why I do make sure that I'm very focused on what it is that I'm eating, what it is that I'm doing on a daily basis, so that I can have the life, the body, the success, the energy that I want to have, and keep doing it over and over again. So, you know, don't just make up those stories for yourself that this is the way that I'm meant to be. That's really a cop-out. So self-compassion is a part of your journey. Accept it, use it, but don't use it to disempower you. Use it to help you grow and to continue to make yourself uncomfortable to get the growth that you deserve. So if you want to connect with me, go to mentaltoughnessandbodyshow.com and opt in for a free consultation right there. I'd love to connect with you. It's free. It's with me personally. All you need is an internet connection somewhere in the world. See you tomorrow, everybody.